Well, this morning our sermon title is called Building It Better, and as you can see, it's from Luke chapter 6, 46 through 49, and I thought since we're talking about building something, construction, I thought we'll start off with a few dad jokes about construction. Number one, what is the tallest building in the world? Well, it's a library. It has the most stories. What did one wall say to the other wall? I'll meet you in the corner. Come on, you're catching on. Did you hear they're changing the flooring in the daycare center? They're calling it infant tile. What animal can jump higher than a house? Any animal. Houses can't jump. And why can't your nose be 12 inches long? Because it would be a foot. What area of the room is the warmest? The corner. It's 90 degrees. And did you hear about the joke about the roof? Ah, never mind. It's over your head anyway. And finally, yay. What nails do carpenters hate hammering? Fingernails. That's right. A fellow dad in the house. I could take up the rest of your time telling you construction story after construction story, from my 9 years being a residential electrician and the few years I spent working with my dad on a construction site as well. Frankly, I'm going to tell you something. A lot can be learned in life if one would spend a year or two as an apprentice on a construction site. Now, the Bible, especially Jesus, uses the human act of and the necessity of building and construction to teach spiritual truths to those whom he discipled and to those whom he taught. One such time Jesus did this, we find recorded in Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. Now, in this passage, Jesus has just finished delivering his Sermon on the Mount teaching. And this is also recorded in longer form in Matthew chapter 6. Now, side note, many of you know that Cherith is in Israel this week studying abroad. And today she is visiting the site there in Galilee where Jesus delivered the Sermon on the Mount. Completely didn't have this plan, but I think it's neat that we're looking at a passage where my daughter is visiting today. And it's even more neat to know that the Bible talks about what happened in real time with real people and real places. We can go back and see the places and visit the places and know. And whereas some get to see it with their own eyes, like the disciples and like those who traveled to Israel, we still get to see it with our own eyes, knowing that this happened, Jesus preaching to a great crowd there on a mountaintop, on a leveled part of the hillside where he taught this Sermon on the Mount, and then he ended this teaching with this very powerful and potent parable. Now let's talk about those gathered around Jesus during this quintessential message on discipleship and on the cost of discipleship. With him were the 12 disciples, other followers, and scribes, and also Pharisees. And when you read what Jesus taught them, you realize that he didn't hold back any punches as to what God's word says about discipleship and how it is to be applied to those who are listening. You see, sometimes we look at the Sermon on the Mount and we get this warm, fuzzy feeling that, wow, that's kind of neat. But if you read the Sermon on the Mount and you understand he's talking about discipleship, following him and the cost of discipleship, you begin to see he's not holding back any punches. And he wants his hearers to not only hear him teach, but to do the things that he is teaching them to do. And this is why this last parable about the builders is so powerful and so potent. This parable that Jesus uses to end his Sermon on the Mount truly cuts to the heart to those whom are listening to him deliver this message and parable. But I also say it cuts to our heart as well as we hear Jesus teach and how he brings about this powerful parable to help his hearers understand what's going on in their lives and how devoted they really are to Him. Because today we're going to see that Scripture teaches there are two categories of people who follow Jesus. The first category is this. Some of Jesus' followers are like master builders. Read with me, if you will, verses 43 through 48. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my word and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. Well, notice what we learn from Jesus about those whom he is speaking. We see that those who are around him, many of them call him Lord, Lord. Now, that can apply a couple things here. First, it can apply that those to whom he is teaching, that they have given some kind of allegiance to him. These would be Jewish followers, and whenever the Bible translates this as Lord, Lord, that's very easy to assume that the Bible is saying that these Jewish followers use the divine name of God towards Jesus, the name Yahweh, but they removed the vowels because they would never say such a sacred name as God's name. But whenever it was translated into the common language of when the Bible was written, when Jesus walked with the disciples, it was translated as Lord, meaning they are attributing to Jesus His God's divine name. They are giving allegiance to them. Now, some would argue that the Jews would not have used such a divine name directed at Jesus. Regardless, however, you still see from these verses and from this verse that Jesus calls them out on their dishonest use of calling him Lord, Lord, and not living out his teachings. In fact, you notice here that Jesus begins this parable with a question. Verse 46, what does it say? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Why do you say with your mouths that I am Lord, but with your actions you demonstrate you have no allegiance to me, no fidelity to me? You could care less about me. Think about the shame felt by those who hear Jesus' questions about the validity of their commitment to him. I mean, he's calling them out. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? That rings in our ears, doesn't it? It's so easy to say that Jesus is Lord, but it's another thing to act in your life as if he is Lord. And you see, those to whom he is teaching this Sermon on the Mount, those to whom are still listening as he gives this parable, he is flat calling them out. With your mouth you say that I am your Lord, but with your actions you demonstrate something completely different. To this hypocritical group, Jesus directs and teaches this following parable. And I know, we've looked at this before, parables can be tricky to study. They can be tricky to interpret. But fortunately, this one is rather cut and dry. Because the characters in this parables are unnamed, but they are clearly categorized into two different groups. Now notice as I reread the first part of the parable, and as we study the complete parable, that Jesus shows each category of people who follow him respond to him in a threefold way. Again, Jesus says, verse 47, everyone who comes to me and hears my word and does them, I will tell you what he is like. Now, concerning the first category, we see that the master builders, first, they come to Jesus. In this parable, Jesus is clearly teaching his hearers that everyone comes to him. This is both groups, both categories. He's letting them know, everyone comes to me. And this parable is directed to everyone who has familiarity or in some degree or another to Jesus and with Jesus, and they have somewhat of an allegiance to him. In fact, the phrase comes to me, everyone who comes to me indicates more than familiarity. It demonstrates that they have left something to come and follow Jesus. Let me ask you this question. Is there anything worth keeping you from following Jesus? Jesus lets us know in this parable that those who follow him must come to him, which means you leave something to follow him. Now, concerning this first category, we see that the master builder, secondly, they hear Jesus' teaching. Everyone comes to me and hears my words. These master builders not only come to Jesus, but they hear his words. Now, I realize, as some of you are looking at your Bible translations, some of your translations have listens instead of hears. Some of you may think that that's like our English word, because a hearer can be a passive exercise and a listener is an active exercise. Like all the other husbands in this room who just hear their wives while I always listen to Becky. Bad allergy day, I'm sorry. No, let's not overinterpret the difference between hearers and listeners, because your translation will use both words for both groups. Both groups are hearers, or both groups are listeners. Jesus is saying, everyone comes to me, those who come to me hear or listens to my words. That is, they are actively listening or hearing Jesus' words. But what are the words that Jesus is saying? Well, the words that Jesus are saying are basically his instructions or his teaching to the people. Rightly dividing the kingdom of God truth. Rightly dividing what the scriptures say. So Jesus' words are instruction or teaching that he has given to his followers, to his disciple. Now again, concerning the first category, we see that master builders, third, they not only come to Jesus, they not only hear his words, but third, they obey Jesus' teaching. Verse 47, again, everyone who comes to me and hears my word and does them, I will show you what he is like. You see, the master builders, not only are they actively hearing or listening to Jesus' words, they are doing them. Because Jesus says, and does them. What does that mean? That means that they obey the words and instructions of Jesus. And notice he doesn't say, and does some of them, or does most of them. These are people who are committed to pursuing and obeying the teachings of Jesus. No, we don't do that perfectly all the time. But yet their mode, their desire, their heart is that they hear and listen to the instructions of Jesus so that they can put those instructions, those teachings into practice within their lives. Now notice here as well that Jesus gives us a mark of a true Christian. The mark of a true Christian is not a person who is ethical. The mark of a true Christian is not a person who is religious. The mark of a true Christian is one who comes, hears, and obeys the teachings of Jesus. I am reminded of the passage that we read in our call to worship scripture reading, and that's in James chapter 1, verse 22, where James says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." That's important. We must hear and we must do. Because if we hear and do not do, then we are deceiving ourselves. This type of person who is a hearer and a doer, this person is classified as a master builder, because his life or her life is not built upon philosophy, theory, ethics, politics, or religion, but rather it's built upon the very words and the instructions and the teachings of Jesus. That is important. Especially since Jesus is finishing up his teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. His teaching about discipleship and the cost of discipleship and what a follower of Jesus looks like, talks like, and acts like. Because here, if a person comes to Jesus, hears Jesus, and does what Jesus says he will be like something. And the result is they will survive the floods of life. Look or listen as I read verse 48. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against the house and could not shake it because it had been well built. The result of coming and hearing and doing the words of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus, is that those who do that will survive life's floods. He is like, or she is like, that can be translated, he or she resembles the person who comes and hears and obeys Jesus. This person resembles a master builder because this person has built his house or her house well, built it well. Jesus says in this parable, the person has dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. This is kind of nerdy, but this sentence structure and phraseology is old, and it goes all the way back to the poet Homer. So the people listening to Jesus in this teaching, they would have understood what this parable meant. They would understand that this master builder took no shortcuts, overlooked no details before he built his house. His foundation is dug deep, and it's on the rock. Simply, it is just well built. And I'm reminded as I read this, I was reminded this week of a couple who built a house near our church in Kentucky. You couldn't see it from the church, but if you drove around the corner, you could see this house that was built. And this couple came into the community. They didn't attend our church, but you know how gossip is. Gossip is gossip. But this couple, they were scared of tornadoes. And as they were building their house, and I'd drive by their house, I just looked in awe. Because everything they did to build this house, they overbuilt it. They dug deeper. They put a bigger footer. They had thicker foundations. And then when they built the framing was steel. The trusses were steel. The inside studs were aluminum. And then whenever they wrapped the house, they wrapped the house in plywood, and the roof, they put plywood on the roof, and then they surrounded the house with architectural steel siding and architectural shingles, steel shingles, because they were scared of a tornado. If a tornado ever came, they wanted their house to survive, so they overbuilt their home. And this is what I'm reminded of. Jesus says that this master builder who comes and hears and does the word of God, he overbuilds his house. He digs deep. He lays a strong foundation that is on the rock. Because Jesus says that a flood will come. Notice he didn't say if a flood comes or possibly a flood will come. He says when a flood comes. What will happen to the storm? Well, the parable says that when the flood came, what happened? That the house withstood the flood waters. You see, even in this parable, we're taught that we're not promised a life of peace and prosperity. In fact, Jesus is teaching his crowd how to prepare for life's floods. The master builder's home in this parable withstood the waters because his home was well built. So well built that Jesus says that the house could not even be shooken. It was not shaken whenever the waters hit it. Now, folks, let me ask you this. What are you doing to prepare for the future? Is your future readiness concerned with retirement funding? Maybe you're a prepper and your future planning consists of caches of food, water, weapons, ammunition, and medical supplies. Jesus lets us know that the best way to prepare for the future is to come to him, hear his words, and to do and obey his teaching and instruction. You know, this all reminds me of Genesis chapter 6. Because in Genesis chapter 6, the people of earth, they have become increasingly wicked. Nothing that is done has controlled the advancement of sin. As a matter of fact, it's only gotten worse. And in Genesis chapter 6, beginning with 5 and 8, we see that God sees the wickedness and desires to do something about it. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, look or listen to what it says. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he made man on earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heaven, for I am sorry that I made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. You see, in this great pronouncement of judgment, we find a glimmer of hope. And the glimmer of hope is this: God found favor in the eyes of Noah. You see, God's favor bestowed upon Noah did not come without responsibility. As we continue to read, you can see that God gave Noah complete instructions on how to build an ark, how to gather food, how to prepare for his family and the animals who would board the ark so that they could survive the flood. And in Genesis chapter 6, verse 22, look or listen as I read, Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. You see, Noah found favor in the eyes of God. Noah came to God. He heard God, listened to God's instructions, and he obeyed those instructions. And Noah and his wife, his sons, their wives, and the animals that were aboard the ark when the flood hit, they survived because of Noah's faithfulness to the instructions of God. Now today we see that Scripture teaches there are two categories of people who follow Jesus. The first category is this: some of Jesus' followers are like master builders. We learn that in verses 46 through 49. The second category is this: some of Jesus' followers are like jackleg builders. Now, I know some of you may be wondering if the term jackleg is a bit harsh, because we've been taught that we're learning about the wise and foolish builders. But I want to argue that the phrase jackleg is, in fact, a better interpretation of what Jesus is trying to convey to those to whom he is teaching. Because by definition, what is a jackleg builder? It is a person who is inexperienced, who lacks skills, who cuts corners, who listens to no instruction, and is a basic train wreck. This is the exact category of people Jesus is describing in the second part of his parable concerning the two categories of people who follow him. Now, just like the first category that describes the master builder, Jesus also uses a threefold way in which these jackleg builders follow him and respond to him as well. First, we see that jackleg builders, that they come to Jesus. Now, I know we can look at verse 49, and you can rightly say, Pastor Bradford, Jesus does not say that the jackleg builders come to him. But I need to remind you what was said in verse 47. Jesus says, everyone who comes to me. So Jesus is addressing everyone in the crowd. He is addressing both groups. He is addressing both categories. He is wanting to teach both the same way. So here, we notice that these jackleg builders, they come to Jesus. They are a group that have left something, and they have made some kind of allegiance. They have some kind of reverence and worth placed on Jesus. So they have come to him. Now, concerning the second category, we see that the jackleg builders, they hear Jesus. There it says in verse 49, but the one who hears. So these jackleg builders, they have come to Jesus. They are hearing Jesus' words. They are hearing his instructions. They are hearing his teaching. At this point, we see there is zero disparity between the master builders and the jackleg builders. But concerning the second category, we see that the jackleg builders, number three, they do not obey Jesus' teaching. But the one who comes, the one who hears, and the one who does not do them. Here is the great difference between the wise and the foolish, is that the foolish do not obey and do not do the teachings of Jesus. They have come, they have heard, but they're not doing. This group of people is like a newly waterproof deck. And whenever the rain falls on this newly waterproof deck, the rain beads up and just flows off the side and doesn't soak into the fibers. Well, you see, that's good for a deck and for wood. That's not good for a follower of Jesus. Because we need to come to Jesus and hear Jesus and allow his instructions to enter into our minds, go down into our hearts, and back out of our mouth and fingertips and feet and heart. But these jackleg builders, they don't care. They revere Jesus enough to call him Lord, but they don't revere him enough to actually do what he is teaching them to do. Consider, again, this group that does not bark, that does not mark the quintessential mark of a true Christian. In fact, let's reconsider our passage in James chapter 1, 22. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, at once forgets what he is like. Now that almost seems ridiculous. Like, whenever we got up this morning, we looked in the mirror, we engaged of what we look like. And we made adjustments before we came to church, right? And perhaps you did one more look in the car mirror before you came into the building. And you looked and you made sure, hair's good, tie's good, makeup's good. I don't wear makeup, but I'm trying to include all genders here. We do the things necessary to make sure that we're on point the best we can whenever we walk into church. And we engage that. But here, James is saying that a person who hears and does not do is like a person who looks at his natural face in a mirror and walks away and has no memory of it. You see, that is like a jackleg builder who comes and hears but does not do. Why? Because he can't remember. He hasn't engaged the teaching. And how many of us, I'm going to step on toes, how many of us in this room can remember the last 15 minutes of this sermon? Have you engaged it? Have you engaged it? Do you remember what I said about what qualifies a person to be a master builder? Or is it just bounced off of you like rain on a freshly waterproof deck? How many of us leave church, Sunday school, small group, and later on that day or the next day you go, man, what was that point that was made in Sunday school? Or that small group topic, man, what was that? I think that'd be really good if I could recall that right now. Man, I can remember the buffalo chicken dip, though. That was awesome. But that Bible verse, what was that about? Messes with us, doesn't it? You see, whenever we come to Jesus and hear Jesus and do not do what Jesus says, like it says in James, we are deceiving ourselves. And the result of one who comes and hears and disobeys Jesus in this parable, the result is this. They are devastated by life's floods. He is like, just like in the first group, the master builders, he is like what? He is like a man, he resembles a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. And when the streams broke against it, immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. So the person who hears, comes and hears and disobeys, he resembles a foolish builder, a jackleg builder. This guy who builds his house on the ground with no foundation, with no footer. It has zero strength. And when the flood waters push against it, Jesus says immediately it falls and its destruction is great. Just like with the master builders, the flood is inevitable. Also with the jackleg builders, the flood is inevitable and it pushes it and it immediately fell. The ruin of that house was great. This reminds me of the aftermath of the flood with Noah. If you read Hebrews chapter 11, the writer of Hebrews speaks directly of the Old Testament people who exercised their faith concerning God's covenant of grace, provision, and perfection. And when you get to Hebrews 11 chapter 7, we learn this. Look or listen as I read. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness that comes by faith. You see, that passage teaches us in Hebrews and in Genesis that because Noah came, heard, and obeyed the word of God, his family and all in the ark were saved. But the grim part about the flood story is that everything and everyone else perished. Why? Because they refused to take the heed of God's warning for judgment. They refused to repent. They refused to put into practice the teachings of God's word of that day. And they perished. The flood destroyed them. Jesus says the same thing will happen to his followers. That if you come to Jesus and hear Jesus, you might be ethical, you might be religious, but when the flood hits you, you will immediately fall. The flood will destroy you. Why? Because you have no foundation. Yeah, you have ethics. Yes, you have religion, but you have no foundation that sinks deep to the rock of Christ. As we allow Jesus' words to settle on our heart, let's consider some concluding remarks offered by one far, far smarter than I. Number one, everyone is a builder. To live is to build. If you are in this room, here's what's going on in your life today. You've come to Jesus in some capacity, and you have heard the teachings of Jesus. Now, I don't know what number three is for you, if you're going to do them or not do them. But everyone in here is a builder. To live is to build. Number two, there are only two kinds of builders, a master builder or a jackleg builder. The master builder builds his life on Jesus and on Jesus' teaching, who is the true rock. He's the cornerstone. The jackleg builder does things his or her own way. Unteachable. And the house of crisis is unavoidable. The flood. The flood of life. We can't escape it. The master builder's life will not be shaken or destroyed when the house of crisis comes or when the flood of life comes. But the jackleg builder, his or her life will collapse under the initial pressure of the flood. Why? Because all they can say is, I've come to Jesus and I've heard Jesus, but I've not done anything in my life to put to practice the teachings of Christ. I'm religious and I'm ethical, but I bear no mark of being a true Christian. Now notice again, we're not talking about perfection. We're just talking about a person's heart, soul, and mind in life dedicated in a pursuit of coming to Jesus, hearing Jesus, and doing Jesus' commands. You're all builders in this room. What kind of builder are you? That's between you and the Lord during this time of invitation. Let's stand and pray. Dear Lord, we're grateful for today. We're grateful for this scripture and for this parable. And Lord, I pray that as our time of invitation begins, that we settle our hearts and we listen to the still small voice of God through his word, and that we respond yes to Jesus. Father, help us to leave with a desire to be wise builders, not foolish builders. Help us to take your word today so that we might be prepared for the flood of life when it comes, that it might not destroy us, but that we might persevere through it because of you. For we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.